Still you call me your child.
This world has lost its grip on me, and I am pretty sure it's lost its grip on you. Don't y'all agree? Y'all can type me an amen and make sure that you hear me okay. Thank you, Beth. Yes, but always try to be led by the Spirit in picking opening songs. And sometimes it's a little hard to do, and you just got to be patient. But, you know, once again, you know my signature opening. You know, it's Friday night. You could have been elsewhere, but you have to... Well, let me back up. It's Friday night and Saturday morning, I think, where Dot is at. So if I got my days mixed up, because, right now it's Friday, so I think it's Saturday where you are at. But, again, welcome. I'm surprised to see her up at 3 o'clock in the morning to be here. It's kind of like, wow, okay, maybe she couldn't sleep or something, but, she's here. But again, welcome, so it's Friday night, early Saturday morning. So again, I thank you for being here. As I always said, you could have been elsewhere, but you decided to take your time to come here. So I'm glad that you're here. If you're like me, I always look forward to the messages. And yes, folks, I do. Even though I'm preaching the message, but the message at times does speak to me. Even though I write it, but when I speak it, I hear it. And yes, I do go back and I re-listen to the message. So actually, I go through the message three times. But, you know, again, I'm glad you're here. But this time, we're going to do things a little bit different. You know, as I was sitting here meditating, you know, thinking of other things and thinking about this message and looking over my notes, you know, the Lord just kind of placed in my heart, okay, you know, Jim, let's do this a little bit different than what I normally do. So normally I start off with the introduction, then we go into our reading, and then we go into prayer time. But let's go to prayer time for right now, because again, here's why. I know there's been some talks in the room, you know, and we're not trying to focus too much on current events here in the United States. But those of us who are here in the States, you know, I will admit to you, my spirit's been troubled. It's been sickening to see what's gone on in this nation. It's sickening to see what's gone on with the electoral system. It's only proved to me it can become corrupted. But yet, it seems like the court systems and everything else won't even consider possible corruption. It seemed like to me they don't care. Well, that only proves to me again what's going on with this nation. But folks, look, I do want to reiterate this, and I said this last night to the group that attended the Bible lessons. Look, God is still sitting on the throne. Do you get this? He is still on the throne. He still has a master plan in effect. He is doing what he is doing because he knows what he's doing. But again, you know, I do feel within my spirit, you know, in my thoughts, that judgment is coming. It's coming upon the United States of America. But not just us, but it's all over the world, so to speak. Because, you know, I can't help but feel that everything that this nation and this world has been doing, I can't help it, but I got to think maybe God's finally getting to a point he has enough. I think it's time for him to start doing what he's got to do. Because the more I kept studying in a chronological order, you know, whenever Israel went into sin, whenever Israel done wickedness, whenever Israel was in evil, God brought judgment against Israel. I think God's bringing judgment to us in this world, folks. I believe that. That's me. I'm not going to get into speculations of end time events and everything else because, again, far be it. It's a lot of speculation, but I feel it in my spirit that judgment is coming upon us as humans. It's coming. It's coming. So let's go to the word of prayer and let's pray and open up our hearts to God. Our gracious Father, as we come to you this very moment, I'm sure there are people praying everywhere. And Father, I am making this petition in the name of Jesus, doing what your Son says to do, to ask you anything in his name and it shall be done. God, I'm not going to stand here and try to ask you to change this election. I'm not going to ask you to please show mercy on us and perform a miracle. Because again, I don't know what your thoughts are. I don't know what your ways are. I would love for it not to see where it's going to go. But somehow or another, I have the feeling in my heart that you're going to allow it to go the way it's going to go. So, Father, I just want to let you know that I had to take these thoughts captive. And I had to get these thoughts out of my head because I'm not going to let these thoughts rob me of the peace and the joy and the contentment I have in trusting in you. Father, I'm just going to be focused on you and keep doing what I set out to do, to surrender my heart to you, to serve you, to do what I need to do, to follow your leading and be obedient to you and be obedient to the direction you show me to go. So please forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. Please forgive me of any sins or any inverted thoughts that I allow to come into my mind. Please forgive me where I have fallen short of your glory. Father, I ask of you to bless those who are here. They could have went done their own little thing. They could have went elsewhere. They could have just said, you know, I just don't feel like sitting there in a message. I got better things. And, you know, they could have went and done whatever. but they're here. And Father, I'm asking for you to unify us. We're small, we're not big, but we want to remain focused and obedient to you. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. So bless these kind folks tonight. Put a protective hedge around them. Guard their hearts and guard their minds. Your word says so that you will do so. So, Father, I ask this, and I lay this petition at your feet in the name of Jesus that we all pray. Amen. Let me give me some water because y'all going to make fun of that. Well, like I said earlier, my friends, I don't know about you. I don't know if you were like me once, or maybe you still may be in this area. I'm not sure. This is just the direction I'm led to go. But there were times that I used to feel absolutely overwhelmed by anxiety, overwhelmed by negative thoughts, overwhelmed by my own thoughts, overwhelmed from the lies of the enemy, overwhelmed with the strong spiritual strongholds that's been in my mind. I don't know if that's you, but I know it's been me, and sometimes it comes at me, but I'm learning and I'm growing that I'm understanding to captivate these thoughts and give them back over to God. But during those times when those was hitting me, when those thoughts were coming at me, I had no idea how to overcome the constant struggles that was currently involved in my life. I had no idea how to overcome the constant thought battle that was going on in my mind. There was many nights and days were difficult for me because I felt it was an upending battle and I was losing it. That's what it felt like at times for me. When those thoughts was in the mind, those strongholds was in there, and it was just raging and raging and raging. And folks, I felt like it was difficult, it was upending, it was a ferocious battle, and I was losing that battle. But the thing is, and I want you to understand this very clearly, the thing is, we're all fighting a spiritual battle. Are we not? We're all fighting a spiritual battle. Now, however, we can choose to fight well and experience God's peace, or we can succumb to the onslaught of the enemy. Your choice. I don't know the intensity of the battles that you're fighting. But we need to understand, as a child of God, you can take control of those thoughts and you can understand where most of them are coming from. Let me repeat that. You, my friends, as a child of God, can take control of those thoughts that is hindering you, that is onslaught, that's a stronghold in you, that is dragging you all over the place, and you can understand where most of them come from if you put your mind into the right place. That's what I hope this message does for you tonight. But the first thing you need to know, what you put in your mind has an effect on what you think. Y'all heard the expression, therefore you think it, therefore you are. You see, whatever you put into your mind, whatever you start thinking, you become. Now, there's one here which I'm not going to name, but I told them, only if you allow it. So, folks, whatever you put in your mind has an effect of what you think. Now, remember this. This might help you understand what I'm saying. You remember those scary movies you used to watch as a kid? Then you had nightmares? Or you watched a scary show or something or whatever, but you had nightmares? Now, I guarantee it didn't take long to realize the way to avoid the nightmares was to stop watching those kind of movies. right? I learned that as a kid. Whenever I was watching stuff on television, it was scary and it caused me nightmares. But the way I learned to get around those nightmares, I quit watching them. Well, it's good news. Good news, folks. God has provided a way to overcome unhealthy thoughts and behaviors and gain the self-control you seek. It is a matter of taking charge of your life His way. You can gain that self-control of those thoughts by taking charge His way. How do I know this? Again, everything that I preach to you, I back it up with scriptures. And I don't use scriptures to prove my point. I don't use scriptures to post my viewpoints. I post scriptures as truth. I speak truth. Some out there wants to attack me and say I don't. Well, that's fine. But everything I speak is truth because, again, I have to answer to Jesus as being a minister and be held to a higher standard than you are. So whatever I say, I know it's facts and I know it's truth because it's according to God's words. But again, how do you take charge of your life His way? Well, look at our reading scriptures for tonight. For those of you who have your Bibles, we're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And look what it says. And this is how you, my friends, take charge of those thoughts. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And pay attention to the last part, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And y'all know the title of this message because you see it in the box, been flashing it over and over in the room. But the title of this message, for those of you who are listening right now, is called Taking Control of the Negative Thoughts. Taking Control of the Negative Thoughts. So I have some questions we're going to ask. But before I do, we need to know that ideologies can be used as weapons. So it's no surprise that the enemy has been using them to wage war against us. Our entire Christian walk is based on faith and belief. And if the enemy can get us to believe a lie, he can shake the very foundations of our faith. That's right, friends. If the enemy can get you to believe a lie, he can shake the very core of your foundation, of your faith. And the thing is, he doesn't always come with one gigantic blow. He doesn't work that way. He doesn't knock you down with a big blow. He does it slowly, systematically. He picks and chooses his battles. He comes in little by little, and he builds his lies in our hearts, crippling us before we even knew what happened. See, that dude's slick. He knows us. He studied us for 6,000 years. So he's not going to hit you all at once. He's going to do it in a very subtle way. And the end result is that the sum of those lies becomes spiritual strongholds in our minds, or a safe place for the enemy to hang out and control us from. Let me repeat that. The summary of those lies becomes a spiritual stronghold in your mind, and it becomes a safe place for the enemy to hang out and to control you. That's how it works. Taking thoughts captive means that we refuse to let any lie from the enemy build a spiritual stronghold in our mind. I know it sounds scary, but this is why God has given us tools to overcome and destroy these strongholds. My dear friends, I would like to begin with a series of questions, as I said earlier. Listen to them. Do you ever have certain thoughts that play over and over and over and over in your mind like an old broken record? Have you ever had thoughts that came into your mind that produces a physical feeling in your body such as pain or anguish or grief when you think of someone? Or a queasy sensation in the pit of your stomach when you think of an event or circumstances? What about tearful thoughts that come over you saying, if I would have done this, or if I would have done that, I wouldn't be in this predicament. How about this one? I heard this one a lot. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about what I'm going through. I just can't catch a break in life for nothing. I'm a failure at this. I'm a failure at that because I blew it the first time. Oh, I blew it many times. I'll never be successful again in my marriage, with my family, my friends, the church, the workplace, or even the community. Have you thought of those thoughts and allow those thoughts to control you? Have you? Be honest. This is the only way we learn to grow from understanding how to get through these. It's tore me up more times than I can count. Well, my friends, I got some good news for you. Listen to this carefully, please. Folks, these is what I call self-punishing thoughts. And if you have any of these thoughts I just mentioned, please know this. This is not of God. Those kind of thoughts that you have battled or had strongholds or whatever, that is not of God. If anything, it's ourselves thinking these thoughts. It's ourselves thinking these thoughts. Now, how do we know this? Again, I'm going to show you in the Word, how do we know these are self-punishing thoughts? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. Look what it says right there. God's words, my friends, read it. And it says this, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Other words, what that is really telling us, my friends, that God will not punish his elect with negative thoughts just to keep them in bondage and keep us in our old ways. You see, Jesus died that we may have life and life more abundantly. Live it. God is not going to punish you with those negative thoughts. That is the old self. The scriptures right there just tells you that is the old self. You put that old self to death and you live the new self. Friends, life does have much suffering. It does. I can't deny that. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all. Or he delivers them out of all afflictions. Yes, we are going to be afflicted. Yes, we are going to have tribulations. Yes, we're going to have trials. Yes, we're going to have temptations. Yes, we're going to have ups and downs. We're going to be at the high points and the low points. But the Bible says it's going to happen. But again, life is given to us by Jesus Christ. How about you learn to live it and quit thinking those negative thoughts? In other words, I heard someone say this, quit with the stinking thinking. Quit with the stinking thinking. All too often, my friends, we suffer unnecessary because of the lies from the enemy that we choose to believe about the people, other circumstances, and ourselves, rather than trusting and believing in the Word of God, because many times we accept as facts the words that are spoken to our minds by the enemy within ourselves. You get that? We, at times, suffer unnecessary because we believe the lies that's within ourselves. The words that are spoken to our minds because we're allowing it to. Again, my four favorite words, if we allow it. The fact remains, friends, the devil himself wants to totally destroy everything about us. That's right. He wants to destroy everything about you. Any way possible. Any way he can. And he's not going to stop. Now, that might be scaring you a little bit. Oh, Jim, man, that kind of doesn't sound too good. I'm sorry, friends, but you know me. I preach truth. I don't beat around the bush. I don't sugarcoat it. I tell you straight up. But again, the Word of God tells us it's going to happen. But the good news is, greater is he who is in you than he who is of this world. How about time you start believing it and live it? Quit letting him defeat you inside. He doesn't have to really hit you from the outside. He can hit you from the inside if you allow it. Because the fact, as I just said, the devil himself loves to come, steal, kill, and destroy everything that represents God Almighty. And in fact, that is us. Because we, you and I, represent God. See, we become fearful, depressed, lonely, angry, doubtful, confused, insecure, hopeless, worried, and beat down, all because of the lies we believe from the devil that's feeding our minds, because that old sinful nature in you is warring for control of that mind. You ever wonder why sometimes how come you think Satan kind of gets the best of you? Me personally, I think the old sinful nature has ties with Satan, and he's telling Satan, oh, look, she's going through something right now. Look, I'm going to tell you what she's thinking. I'm not saying that's facts. Please don't hold me to that. Please don't. But see what I'm saying? That old sinful nature in us, he is still evil, he's still wicked, so he is going to go after your mind, and he's going to help the enemy do it. If we allow it. They're warring for control of mind. But guess who else is warring for control of your mind? Y'all should know this. Who else is warring for control of that mind? The Holy Spirit. You see, we're in the middle. Wickedness on one side, holiness on the other, and we're in the middle. We're like an Oreo cookie. Both is warring for control of the mind. Both is feeding thoughts to your mind. Which one are you going to submit to? Which one are you going to give yourself over to? You see where I'm going with this? We have a choice, friends. You know, people say, well, I just sinned, Brother Jim. I didn't mean to have an affair with that woman. I remember one time I was counseling a guy, he told me that, and I kind of looked at him and said, brother, seriously? How long have you been knowing her? Oh, 8, 9, 10 months. How many times have you been going out with her?
Oh, quite a lot.
Well, who made the reservation for the motel room?
Well, I did.
Well, who went picked her up?
Well, I did. Oh, it can work against the woman, too.
You see what I'm saying? I had to tell brother, wait a minute. You're blaming God for the temptation, but you were the one that gave away to the thoughts of that temptation. And giving away to it, you gave yourself over to the sin. You could have just said, you know what, I better stop. I know better. The Word tells me better. The Holy Spirit was probably convicting you, if you are of the Holy Spirit. See, sin just does not happen. Yeah, sometimes we inadvertently, hey, look, I'm guilty of it. Sometimes you're someone cuts me off. I kind of throw my hand up at them. I don't give them the one finger peace, I know. But my wife be called, boo? Whoa. You know, Rob, what you just did? I'm like, so? He cut me off. She said, well, baby, you're supposed to be of the Holy Spirit. Well, like you see $10 sitting on a desk somewhere? Don't blame it on the woman. Adam tried to blame it on the woman, but it was Adam's fault. But you ever seen money on a desk? Nobody's around? Well, I don't think they're going to notice that money. And you take it? You see, you start thinking. The thought led to sin. Make the choice. Do the right thing. You see, that old sinful nature is still in you, friends. And that thing is going to stay in you to the day we breathe our last. But how do we fight it? We go to the Word of God. Everything you need to know about God is there. There's no excuses. You are without an excuse. Sounds hard. Sounds kind of tough, Jim. But I'm preaching truth. But as I said, that old sinful nature, he's warring for control of that mind. He wants to take control of the mind. He wants to put the Holy Spirit inert. But we're warned about that. How do we know this? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Look what it says. The Scriptures declares in Romans 13, 14, and it says, but, and this is what it's telling us to do, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. You know, I can't realize how many times reading through the Bible that I have passed that scripture over and never given it any real thought. Till one day I was reading that. And that was brought to mind when writing his message. You know what? That is truth. That is telling us right now, we are not to give no provisions at all to the flesh to gratify its desires. Our desire should be what the Holy Spirit desires. That's what it should be. See, my friends, any provisions for the flesh not only proves that you expect to fail, but it actually invites you to give into temptations because of the thoughts. Again, our four favorite words, if we allow it to captivate us. Let me repeat this. Any provisions for the flesh not only proves that you are expected to fail, but it actually invites you to give in to the temptations of the thoughts if we allow it to captivate us. Then when it does, it provides tempting possibilities for the mind. It stirs up the emotions. And then it defeats the will within us. And then we cave into it. That's how it starts, friends, like a domino effect. All believers face battles against impure thoughts. And how do we know this? Again, I'm going to prove to you what the Word of God says, though, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Look what it says right there, which says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit." Notice the capital S, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. "And the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for those who are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." They're both a warrant for control of that mind. And for us to become mighty in God's spirit, folks, we, you and I, must conquer all impure thoughts. And that it requires a decision on your part. And that decision is, I choose to obey God. I choose to obey God. And I admit I've been slipping in that part. Because it's been a new show on called Star Trek Discovery. I'm a Star Trek geek. Grace was picking at me, talking about geek time, I'm a geek. Yeah, I'm a geek. But it was a new cool show. I wanted to watch it because I'm a Star Trek. Anything that goes with Star Trek, I got to watch it. Within the second episode when it started hitting the F-bombs. Ooh. But I still want to watch it. Star Trek. You see what happened? I made a decision. And I didn't obey God. I should have just turned that smut off. It's disgusting what they did with the Star Trek franchise. And the Holy Spirit started dealing with me each time I went back to try to watch it. So I had to make a decision. Oh, man, that looks like to be a cool show. But I got to make a decision. Okay, God, none of that no more. But the reason why we must make the decision, in fact, my friends, if you want proof in the pudding that you are required as a child of God to obey God, I'm fixing to blow your mind with this one. We are commanded to do so in accordance to his word. Look what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 15 says about that. There it is right there in black and white. You are commanded to do so. Look what it's telling us. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. All. God said, well, Lord, I can't give this up right now. Lord, I still want to do a little bit of this, but I will give you this. No. You must be holy in all things in your life and purge the things that's going to hinder your relationship with God. I've been on that journey now for the last almost 8 weeks. And I went to my heart. And I went to do a hardcore spiritual self-examination. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I did not like what I found. Wow. Wow, Lord, really? Oh, my. Oh, my. That's going to have to change. Yes, Lord. Yes. It will change. But by knowing this, if you're willing to walk the truthful path, and be holy as you are holy. And that means whatever things you are doing to yourself, whatever things you are watching, whatever things you are listening to, whatever things that is defiling the holy temple, you better clean it up. Because if you don't stand there and try to criticize me. Don't stand there and try to rebuke me. Don't stand there and try to correct me in the way that I'm living until first. Don't even stand there to try to take the plank out of my eye while the big 4x4 is in your eye. Don't. Don't you even try. Don't. Jesus told us not to, because he knows what your heart is. So it's about high time that we understand what it means to return to holiness, and we need to understand what it means to strip everything that is going to hinder our true relationship with God. When I realized that point in my life, oh Lord, that's why. It's going to have to stop. And folks, when you understand this, when you are ready to be real with yourself, and look, I'm not trying to convict nobody here tonight or anybody who's listening to this message, but I'm only speaking for myself. Jimmy Thibodeau had to change, and he had to start doing things right with God and quit all that craziness. Captivate those thoughts and start getting right, because time is running out, friends. Time is running out. And when you look at this passage, knowing about this passage, you and I need to do whatever it takes to focus our thoughts on the things that allow us to serve God successfully. And while eliminating any thoughts that would trip us up and remove all things that would cause us to be tripped up. In practical application, this means we must remove from our eyes and minds the host of books, magazines, television programs, things of the world, internet sites, various types of entertainments, and discussions that appeal to the lust of the flesh rather than the things of God. Then, when we realize that, we must replace the things that draws you to impurity with activities that strengthen your spirit and your relationship with God. And we must do so in order to deepen our walk with God. We do it several ways: by prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship with other godly Christians, and engrafting God's words into your heart and your life. And by doing so, it's strengthening your spirit in these ways that it will help you win the war against the lust of the flesh. And yes, folks, there is good news. There's good news in all this. We have been made overcomers through the blood of Jesus Christ, our King. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 tells you this. I love it. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Wow. So with that, folks, what it's telling you, we can overcome all these negative lives and negative lifestyles with prayer and intercessions, putting our faith in God, learning to trust Him in all things, and most of all, reading, applying, and yielding the Holy Spirit in your life and trusting in Him and what the Word of God tells you through Him. You can overcome all those things if you decide right now, you know what, after listening to this message, enough is enough. It's time for a change. Enough is enough. I need to quit that addiction. Enough is enough. I need to quit watching them stupid movies or the stupid shows. Enough is enough of this world. It's time for me and you, God. And in fact, when you start doing these things, my friends, these are tools that God has provided for us to take control and have authority over the negative thoughts that may come into our minds to hinder our relationship with Him and releasing your full potentials and abilities to go forth in life and all other things that will cause you to soar in every area of your life. Release yourself. You see, the Bible says, not me, the Bible says that we must learn to bring every thought into captivity that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Folks, captivity means imprisonment. Lock it up. It means to put that thought in jail and throw away the key. Don't give negative thoughts freedom to run through your mind whenever they decide to. You are in control with the power of the Holy Spirit. And with His help, you can take authority over negative thoughts. So take those negative thoughts captive, lock them up, and throw away that key, and don't look back. And in fact, friends, when I was writing this message, I ran across this article because I looked up for some illustrations. And I ran across this article saying that many serial killers talk about how they heard voices in their heads telling them to kill, and they were just following orders. Well, folks, I got something to say about that. When people are not trained or taught to discern voices in their heads, they don't recognize that the voice is nothing of or more than the devil. They don't recognize that. You as a child of God should know this. The devil is a clever deceiver who comes to each of us and tries to speak lies into our minds. But you and I have to be ready for him. We have to be ready for him. So in closing, if you get anything out of this message, listen to this. If the thought is not of God, we submit it to Him in prayer. That's simple. If the thought is not of God, because we know God is not the author of confusion, then you submit it to Him in prayer. And we ask God to help us believe the truth about our situation. We simply repeat this process for every negative thought you experience. And the thing is, friends, strongholds do take time to come down. They do. Strongholds takes time to come down. A well-fortified wall just don't come down in a day. But we remain persistent in believing God, consuming His word, and submitting our thoughts in prayer. The fact is, there is no place for lies in a heart filled with God's truth. No place for lies in a heart filled with God's truth. If there are lies within your heart, then you are not of truth. I question whether you are of God or not. Well, Jim, what about that passage when Jesus said, judge not? Well, let me correct you before you even throw that in my face. Like I told you, don't try to remove the splinter from my eye while you got that 2x4 in your eye. So don't even throw that about, well, what Jesus said about judging. You need to understand the full content of that passage, because what Jesus is talking about, we don't judge the salvation of a person, but we are righteous judges. And by golly, if you claim yourself to be a banana tree, I better see bananas hanging from your branches. So I will judge you righteously according to the word. Now, as far as your salvation, that's between you and God. It's between you and him. But the bottom line is, my friends, there is no place for lies in your heart if you claim to be filled with God's truth. So when the enemy throws lies at us, we wield the sword of the Spirit. Or I like to say, well, we yield the sword of the Spirit and stop his attacks. And then what we need to do, we need to ask ourselves, and pay attention to this, please, because again, I guarantee it will help you. Whenever you are starting being filled with those negative thoughts, when those attacks are starting to come at your mind, when you are starting to have all the marbles running around, you need to ask yourself several questions. And you need to be sure that you ask them honestly and be truthful. But the questions you need to ask when those negative thoughts are coming at you, first thing you need to think to yourself, what is this thought? What is it? Why am I believing it? Is it true? What does the word has to say about this? What does God want me to believe about this? You see, when asking these most important questions, we need to be using the word of God that gives us the mind-protecting scriptures. And there are several. I'm just going to name three of them for you tonight. But whenever you are faced with those bad thoughts, whenever you start hearing those lies, whenever you start hearing the gossip, whenever you start hearing this and that, and all, you need to ask, what is this thought? Why am I believing it? Is it true? What does the word say about this? And what does God want me to believe about this? Well, if you've been faced with that, then you need to go to what I'm calling mind-protecting scriptures. And they are, the first one is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Look what it says. You keep him in perfect peace. Peace, peace. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Friends, in other words, when your mind is on God and not those lies you hear, you have the peace. The second mind-protecting scriptures would be Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And look what it says right there. I'm just showing you scriptures, friends. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Whew. Again, friends, what it's telling you, every sin, listen to this carefully, please. I've been seeing too much of this going on with the internet, too much of this with this room, too much of this with people in church, and too much of this with Christians. But let me tell you something right now, folks. What that scripture is trying to tell you, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. We should be imitators of Christ, because again, every sin begins with a thought in the mind. You heard me said earlier when I was talking about that fella that had that affair with the woman, the sin began with a thought in the mind. That's right. Because you're going to think about that thing first. You just ain't going to jump at it. Oh, I'm going to go sin. Wait, let me come back and think about it too. No, you're going to think about it first, and then you're going to give in to it, and then you're going to give in to the sin. You're going to think about it. Think before you decide to do it. Captivate those thoughts. Captivate them. Don't let them captivate you. Don't let them put you into bondage. We've been set free. We have the Holy Spirit. So folks, all godly actions begins with the renewing of the mind. I know, Lisa, I'm going to trip you up, but it is Romans 12, 1 and 2. You don't have to post it. I'm just saying that. But that's why scriptures are so important. Because every godly action begins with the renewing of your mind with the help of the Holy Spirit. Reason why I'm saying this, friends, right thinking produces right actions. You get this? Right thinking produces right actions. And the reason why I'm saying this, you can either allow the devil to feed you his negative lies, choice one, or choice two, you can retain the mind of Christ. Which one will you choose? And the third mind-protecting scriptures, as I call it, is Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 22. Oh, Jim, you didn't have to go there, did you? Yes, I did. Look what it says right there, folks. It's a warning to us. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts. Theft, murder, sexual immorality, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Dang, Lord, you're really hitting hard to the core, ain't you? You see, folks, what this tells you and I, that evil actions begins with a single thought. Why'd I know this? I saw Chrissy just pop in there, but why you should know this? Look what happened to Eve. Look what happened to her. What thought did she cave into? Doubt. She caved into thought. She thought of doubt. She started thinking. My wife, by the way, tells me, boy, that's dangerous, Jimmy, when you start thinking. I kind of look at her like, yeah, right, okay. But see, she saw the serpent. And he was in the tree of the fruit of knowledge. She heard his words. But then she doubted what God says. You know, you can have anything you want. You can have it all. But you cannot touch nor eat of the tree of the fruit of knowledge. One simple thing. She doubted. She gave in to the thoughts. Serpent convinced her. Bit whatever that pomegranate, apple, banana, pear, whatever it was. I'm still alive. She goes running to Adam, and someone posted that earlier. I was trying to shift it on the poor woman, but it wasn't the woman's fault. She went to poor Adam, look, God lied. I ate that apple, that fruit, or whatever it is. I'm still alive. Guess what happened to Adam? He came into the thought of, what is it again? Doubt. And man fell. That's why I just told you what that passage is telling us, because the wickedness that's in us now today, we have it more harder than they did. They fell. That curse fell on us now. But this is telling us, folks, that every evil action begins with one single thought. and allowing our minds to dwell on lust and envy and hatred and revenge will only lead you to sin. So folks, don't defile yourself by focusing on evil. Don't. Instead, follow Paul's advice, which he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul gives you the answer right there in that passage, my friends. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Look what it says. And he's telling us to meditate. What do you think meditate means? Can someone tell me what does meditate mean? Don't be afraid throwing the wrong answer out neither. Consider, okay, I like that one. That's not quite the one I'm looking for. To reflect on one's thoughts. To reflect upon. Good, yeah. They're all good. Please don't take it the wrong way. But Paul's advice in Philippians is telling us to meditate on these things, which says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, look what it says, think about these things. Think about these things. And bottom line here, my friends, please give thought to this. If you don't take control of your mind and those thoughts, the devil will. Again, if you don't take control of your mind and those thoughts, the devil will. You don't have to entertain every thought that comes into your mind. You don't. Because, friends, you have been given power. That's right. I'm not fooling you. You have been given power to captivate those thoughts. Power given to you by the God Almighty Himself to take those thoughts captive. As I said earlier, when those thoughts come at you, take those thoughts captive. Lock them up. Throw away the key and make them subject to the Word of God. Why am I saying this? Jesus showed us the example. He did the same exact thing to Satan himself and the devil in the desert. And he used the Word of God against him. Woohoo! There you go, Rick. He wanted to hear a woohoo! You got the power of the Holy Spirit to take those thoughts captive with the Word of God, and that's power. That's power. And Satan knows that, and he has to abide to it. So next time those thoughts come at you, next time those thoughts start tearing you up, next time those thoughts start trying to drag you down, next time those thoughts try to build strongholds in your mind, then won't you do what Jesus did? Use the power that's been given to you. And another thing, you must be diligent in all things. You must be careful to monitor what TV junk that you look at. You must monitor all these books and magazines and music and radio programs and CDs and what friends tell you or what they tell you to listen to. I mean, all those things that are not of God, you need to captivate those thoughts and say, you know what? I am a child of God and I refuse to hear that. Please do not discuss it around me. Because if these things fill your mind with ungodly thoughts, then you need to kill them before it kills you. If those thoughts are captivating them, you need to kill them before it kills you. Because I promise you, if you don't, it's going to destroy you. Instead, friends, feed your spirit with the thoughts of God and His words so that you feel enriched, at peace, clear-minded, blessed, a blissful relationship. When you have that, that's wonderful. I've been experiencing that lately. Have you? But if these worldly items deplete you or make you feel run down, empty, confused, unfocused, fearful, as I said, kill it and take those thoughts captive. Because God, my friends, is not the author of confusion in your life. He's not. Let that stuff go. Let it go. Don't leave no room for the devil to come in and take control. Don't. Y'all know the old saying, I've seen it many times. You give Satan an inch, he wants a foot. And remember, most of all, rather than beating yourself up for having impure thoughts, take authority over these thoughts. Put them in jail by making them submit to the Word of God. Do that. And you will find that you have greater peace that you seek. And then tell those thoughts. Then tell them straight up. Tell them, I, as a child of God, refuses to entertain those thoughts. Because I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, my King. I'm not going to allow you to use my mind anymore as a dumping ground for trash or that mess or that confusion. No, I have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, my King. Thoughts go to heck. I have a choice. You have a choice. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, take control of your thoughts. You have that authority. How about you start using it in the name of Jesus? Amen. Let's pray.